G'day and thanks for checking out the Year Round Carnival, the review podcast every Monday where we give you the best information via Vince Accardi's Daily Sextals platform. We're here thanks to our loyal members who support us each and every week. They get the best of the day sent to them from Melbourne and Sydney. They're also going to get the best of the day from Perth. Guess what it was? It was where a star was born.
Well, there's no doubt this horse is on the rise and the indicators are pretty clear. This stable's just like, I don't even know, maybe they're better than Waller in their own way, but they're just phenomenal to get them going, especially when they're targeting races. The indicators are, it's come back several lengths better. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change. This horse has improved at least three lengths from last campaign. He's set to run on the low plus six. It could easily turn out to be a plus eight horse. So he's a serious runner. that's the challenge, right? He's a serious racehorse. Tell me something,
boy. In saying that he's a plus six type horse, basically you're saying is that he's now really on point to be the best miler in the country.
Off. Oh, it's just unbeatable.
Now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the Year Round Carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfe.
And Vince Accardi, I know you were already that bullish about this horse before the race, Western Empire, but man, oh man, did he deliver on the big stage?
Yes. Well, I'm sure a lot of people were bullish, but it was just good to see that the horse turned up and delivered to what I guess our expectations were potentially of this horse, and that's what makes it very, very exciting. Couldn't believe when I was watching the race in running and the horse was safe. What, okay, if it had been Vince Accardi at 25, like if you're on the course and you're backing the horse, you wouldn't even watch the rest of the race, you just go straight to the bookmaker. Because that's how much, like, I knew after a few hundred minutes, it's over. I said, it's just over.
So he's sitting three lengths for the lead at the 800 metre mark. And to use another very good form student's phrase about Mark Lamborn, no speed, no talent. This horse has been, you know, there was maybe a chance he was going to get back. Not according to William Pike once they jump. Just bang straight, stalking the speed, and let's make a mess of him.
And this is exactly what he did. He made a mess of him. I don't know how this stable does, but they're freaky good, Ralphie. They're just freaky good. They just get them to go in phenomenal ways to just come out and just go bang another three.
Yep.
just like that. just like that. Second up. I was looking at the numbers very carefully, and the intel's saying there's another length on that run.
All right, so let's pull it back a bit. And on the preview podcast, you said this is potentially a plus six horse. And, you know, my initial reaction was, well, that make him the best miler in the country, because that then eclipses the Epsom. On Thunderstruck actually ran better than that in the Turek, but we'll get to that. But that just said straight away what a serious horse he was, potentially could be. So what did he deliver when you said possibly a plus six?
He's ended up with a plus 6.8, Ralphie.
So it's a stratosphere.
That's the stratosphere. And it's a heavy haircut to the day. Because the raw figures, and this is, there's a few possibilities that I like to look at. There's always the raw figure that you look at. And the raw figure's 13.2. On my charts, and let's say the greatest stable I could have, I have a cutoff. If you can get 14 lengths above the IVR benchmark or higher, you go into the absolute, the elite bin, right? So this run on a handful of starts, or what was it, 10, 11 starts,
yes,
on a raw figure's already put down a 13.2. That's 0.8. Now, in that group of all-time greats, Maccabi Diva, Black Caviar, Winx,
so you think.
Yeah, and a number of others, right? That just shows you where it's headed. But what makes it even more exciting is when we look at, let's say, a horse like I'm Thunderstruck, which if I'm off, I'm only working straight off the top of my head, it might be around 6.9, thereabouts, high sixes. The closing speed isn't as powerful as this runner. This particular horse, Western Empire, is going 0.2 above through the first section, 6.7 above between the 8 and the 4, and 6.3 above overall last 400 with a 0.9 slowdown between the 4 and the 2. This puts you in exactly what I was thinking earlier. This is before this horse had this start, that this horse's possible Cox Plate horse, if he can get to that number, and who knows where he goes from there. But that's the profile you need to have to be able to race in those sort of races. Or, as we know, this horse can go well beyond that distance, 2,400 metres. Look out if this horse can come to Victoria as an example next. I'm just talking next spring. It's a long, long way away. Many things have to happen. But this is the sort of horse that can win a Cox Plate Caulfield Cup. And who knows what else it can do?
Well, here's the thing. So I'm looking at Jay Rooney from the Western Australian yesterday, put some quotes from you. This is potentially a world-class horse. His raw figure, 13.2, just outside the top 20. You've touched on that. I think he could be one of the best ever out of WA. He's a money-making machine. The world-class horse I've heard you mention once since I've worked with you. That was Winx after her first Cox Plate. You said, this is the first Australian horse you've clocked that could win an arc. So that's very, very rare for you to say it. You're not a spooky. You just say it as you call it. And that gives you some real excitement about this horse.
And this is what it's about, Ralphie. When I seen that there was another length on that run, that freaked me out, because that went above my maximum, because I felt this horse maximum would be 7.
Yep.
You know, one run to the other, or this campaign.
Sorry, I was going to say, just talk us through a bit more of what you've touched on about the raw figure, because I remember talking to Jason Richardson previously about this, there's a technique, I think it's called overspeeding, I could be completely wrong, but there is a technique in sprinting, and obviously Richo won a Stall Gift for those who don't know, but where you actually practice with a tailwind to try and make you run faster than you normally do, because it gives you an opportunity to, I don't know, different muscles, and it's a good training tool. But where I'm coming from with this is that, yes, if it was a very fast track, that's fine, but I'm not going to be able to run 10 seconds for 100 metres shot out of a cannon. So there is a limit to how much faster you can run. So that's what you're saying. Before you actually adjust for your IVR figure, you're just saying, I want to see what the raw time is.
Yeah, and the beauty is this, when you get a super fast track, the DTAJ, that's the additional adjustment that we put in. So the track speed's 1.93, which is the standard algorithm when you look at the par benchmarking for the day on lead speed.
Yep.
And then there's the adjustments that I bring into play, because what I like to do is I like to look at what races will run fast or slower through the various sections, so to bring more balance to it.
Yep.
As opposed to just a straight line lead speed, because you're still only getting one dimension, but it is the drag of the race, right?
Yep.
And I only ended up scoring that 2.35, right, which is inside a fast track. Now, this particular race, I penalised four, Ralphie. Four. lane buys, and it's overscored. It's overscored, in my view.
So you're saying you couldn't have given it a worse figure than 6.8?
No, that's the lowest possible figure I can give it. And I do this, I do it for a few reasons. Number one, the art of money.
Yep.
The last thing you want to do is con yourself into something that may not be real. And I've done it too many times when I was younger, doing these numbers, and it only equals one result, carnage with my pocket of money, right? So I've learned to be balanced, and even though I want to give it what it should get, I've always got the raw figure that I can use, right? So there's no way I can confuse myself. If I want to look at absolute, there's the raw figure, unadjusted, there it is. 13.2, you could go 0.9 above. You've got a horse 14. This is why I'm saying to you, world class, right? Because I'm coming down to my mindset of why I say that. Because to enter that category, that's the starting point of absolute. Now, 13.2, add the 0.9, we're 14. Horses, I don't know how much more the horse has still got to come.
Fantastic. I'll ask you this question without any commentary and go for it. To those who want to look at the race and say, who did he beat? Like, that's going to make him slower. What's your response?
Oh, seriously. When people say things like that,
yep,
they have no clarity of understanding about the art they work in.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. I mean, the second horse I've ended up with an IVR figure of 2.9. Well down on the previous, which I suspected would happen, right?
Well, we talked about on the podcast that this horse came off a 4.1 best of the day at Ascot, 6th of November. He was a serious, he was a good talent, not a serious, I was never going to say serious threat, but he was something that you had to really consider for your multis, and I'm certainly glad I did.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was it? High six is a place. Are you kidding me? Yeah. So there's no illusions about who's come second and third. They all ran to their performances, right?
Yep.
But this is what happens when a horse is genuinely better than top company. Now, of course, it's not the absolute best, but he could have been up against Anime, could have been in the Cox Plate, and he wouldn't have missed the podium on that performance. He would not miss the podium.
Well, I suppose in this year, and this is the only thing we haven't got clarity, because I'm pretty sure looking through your profile, you'll tell me in more depth, the one thing he hasn't seen is a wet track.
Well, no, and I don't know what that's going to mean.
It's an unknown, yeah.
It's a very big unknown. Well, one of the things that I look at, I mean, I'm just mucking around here, right? I'm not going to take myself seriously is what I'm saying. Already on a dry track, it's just unbelievable, right, in terms of what he's been able to post from a – he got the wet track indicator, dry track indicator. Leading into this run, he was 11. Now he's 13, right?
Yeah.
And that sort of – what's really interesting is when he did the 11, it was an overshoot of about six lengths in that 1,400-meter race. When he's done the 13, it's a 0.2 deduction, which further confirms for me that this was about as close to a genuine scoring of a race and a day that you could get as far as unadjusted track speeds.
And just for a bit of fun,
dry track for sure. Sorry, yeah, dry track for sure. Wet track, well, I don't know.
We'll see. Just for those who want to do some raw figure comparison to your IVR, last 800 meters. This is off a good speed, 45.12. So I reckon that'd be a winning time at track work after already going fast for 800 meters before that last 800 of 45.12. And just to round off our discussion with him being a Derby winner in the autumn, he won five from six in the autumn, peaking obviously for his grand final. What has actually been his progression, which you've touched on?
Well, basically, when we look at his very first race start in Northern was like a minus 8.6.
Yep.
Just, you know, like you'd say, okay, where are you going? And then by the time you ended the campaign, he finished up not winning a race for the prep, but 0.4 above. So that's something. And then he's come out of his next campaign. There's always that first step. He's come out and he's won comfortably. He's gone 0.1 above and then peaked pretty early in the prep. It was over a mile when he killed them with a plus 2.9 best of the day and then finished off the preparation with a minus 2.8. And as we know, when they're young horses, they have a tendency to win on possible class when they win at these sort of distance range. But that run prior to that, there was that first insight there when the horse went the last 400 metres plus 6.8. Admittedly, it was off a soft speed, but that sort of gave you some comfort of knowing this horse can relax and still have a big combustion of speed.
Yep.
And then he's turned up first up off a long break. And this is the big thing. That preparation that we just went through, they started off a 57-day break. In other words, the horse had no time out. I felt that he was doing, it was like almost doing it all on one campaign, right?
Yeah.
And then he's come out 203 days off, bang, 2.3 above, 3.8 above. That also tells you a lot about the training and the stables mentality about saying, we've got potentially a good one here. Let's give it a good break, allow it to grow. This is just my thinking, right? I'm not saying this is what they were thinking. And they've been proven correct. There it is, 3.8 above, monster leap, 3.7 length leap from first up to first up, and almost a dozen lengths from its very first race start. So this is the hallmarks of horse that trend in one direction upwards, season on season, until they at least get to five. This is when being a male. And it's a gelding. So if this horse stays sound and strong, he ain't going away.
And that short break that you touched on, that reminds me of what you said about Zaki during the winter. So that's post the Queensland campaign. He did have a pretty short break going into Sydney. He exploded first up. But then he started to plateau, and he hasn't gone close to ever reaching that Doomben Cup win again. And he's probably only going to have a reasonably short break, given that he won the McKinnon, leading into whatever's there in the late summer, early autumn for him.
Absolutely. So the big thing is now: is this horse coming to Melbourne? Look out!
Yeah,
look out. So,
it'd be a nice race on Thunderstruck versus Western Empire at the Mile in the All Star Mile, if that's the case.
So when's that sort of race?
What time of the year? Mid-March.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Well, the horse comes across, and this is the thing with WA horses, not all of them do. Atmospheric pressure, all these things, they come across, and some of them settle in well, and they don't become sooks, and others stay sooks and want to go back home. So it just depends which one we got here.
Fantastic. All right, that's our deep dive into Western Empire. We had to do it. We weren't going to do it because we're doing a part two of some Vince School, but that's our round off, and hopefully it gives you some insight into why we're so excited about Western Empire.